Municipal Forum. Mrs. Schlafly is a constitutional attorney, pro-family leader, and the author of more than 20 books, including No Higher Power, Obama's War on Religious Freedom. And now, here's the president of Eagle Forum, Phyllis Schlafly.
When you see a judge use the phrase, the best interest of the child, he is probably about to abuse his power. For most of our history, the best interest of the child was a matter for parents to decide. Now, supremacist judges and liberal politicians use that phrase to enact their favorite policies. The recent surge of young Central American illegals across our border provides a perfect example. The unaccompanied alien children are clearly breaking our immigration laws. They even turn themselves in to the Border Patrol. If we had an immigration system based on the rule of law, these illegals would be promptly sent back to their home countries. Instead, the law lets judges and bureaucrats determine what is the best interest of the child. In practice, this means that many of the alien children are placed with remote family members in the United States. Many of these so-called family members are also illegal aliens. Sometimes our government cannot even verify that they are family, putting the children at risk of abuse. In theory, these children are told to appear before immigration judges several years later. In reality, the government hands them notices to appear in court, and then it's up to the illegals to comply. Even if they ever do show up, the law says that the best interest of the child guarantees them an advocate at taxpayer expense. The best interest of the child makes a mockery of our legal system because it's a loose expression that is not defined by any law. It also mocks our sovereignty. It makes our border security officials bend over backwards to satisfy the bureaucrats and judges instead of enforcing our laws. Meanwhile, the children are separated from their parents, far from their home. In this border crisis, the only interests served are those of the liberals, who now have admitted thousands of future voters.
In her new book, Who Killed the American Family, Phyllis Schlafly answers that very question. Judges, feminists, psychologists, school districts, college professors, and politicians looking for votes are all to blame. Radio listeners can receive an autographed copy of the book at a special discount at eagleforum.org. That's eagleforum.org. Thanks for listening, and join us again for the Phyllis Schlafly Report.
Recent events have shown just how vulnerable we are to deadly viruses, bacteria, and fungus. These diseases are all caused by infectious pathogens that often get the upper hand on conventional medical treatments. Now more than ever, there's a great need for a product that will help protect us. Look no further. Supernatural Silver can provide immune system support to help fight off these deadly pathogens. Supernatural Silver is a new and vastly improved type of silver solution that's safe and extremely effective against 143 types of bacteria, both forms of viruses, mold, and yeast. Supernatural Silver can be taken orally or used topically and can be used in a nebulizer or vaporizer for inhalation. With over 180 scientific studies by independent universities, hospitals, and research institutions, Supernatural Silver is a powerful weapon against disease. Go to supernaturalsilver.com and use the promo code SILVER2014 for 20% off your entire order. Give you and your loved ones a fighting chance with Supernatural Silver.
Your money. What is it worth today? A $100 bill in 1913 is worth only $2 today. So now, your money is just about worthless, and the Fed will continue printing more and more of it. But what if you could turn it around, $1 at a time, and make your money worth more than it is now? How? By acquiring gold before your paper money is totally worthless. But how can you afford gold at today's prices? By buying it 1 gram at a time. And this is so important because gold is the future. For as little as $65, you can begin trading your almost worthless currency for something real, something you can hold. Carat bars, which keep their value, can be stored securely, and are easily accessible, just like a savings account, but a savings account backed by your gold. Carat Bars International, a savings account you can count on. For more information, please click on the Carat Bars banner ad at republicbroadcasting.org. Again, that's the Carat Bars banner ad at republicbroadcasting.org. And start saving now.
After work, I'm so tired that I want to be left alone to sleep. Hey, listen to me.
Who are you?
I'm you years ago, when you felt healthy and young and everything worked on your body. Do you remember that?
Yes. I wish I felt like that now.
You can feel like that again with a new microplant powder formulation called Iodine Now. It cleans the entire body from head to toe and feeds the body what it really needs. You'll be in a better mood and you'll find more drive in your romantic life.
Really?
I gotta try Iodine Now and feel good again. It also protects you from radiation, heavy metals, fluoride, chlorine, and bromine, including cancer and most major diseases. You'll be amazed. You can be your own doctor. I want to keep you out of the hospital and off pharmaceuticals.
Wow, why are you so nice to me?
Because I'm you. You're out of shape, and I need a better-looking future.
Call 888-910-4367. That's 888-910-4367. Or visit microplantpowder.com. Microplantpowder.com.
Kicking off another week of the Bob Tuscan Show. How the hell are you? Hope you're doing well. Last week we had on a special agent. That sounds real exotic. From Law Enforcement Against Prohibition. And we've been featuring a guest every week this month from LEAP, talking about the war on drugs and the cost on our society. The militarized police state gone out of control, and the pretext, for the most part, along with terrorism, the war on terrorism, is the war on drugs. And there are good men and women that pledged an oath to the Constitution at some point or another that said, you know what, this war on drugs, it's not working. We're witnessing this firsthand. We're seeing the cost on our communities, on law enforcement, and beyond. Well, tonight we're lucky to have, to kick off our series this month, the co-founder of Law Enforcement Against Prohibition, Peter Christ himself. Peter Christ will be joining us for this hour of the Bob Tuscan Show, and we'll be talking about his background. He was a former police captain, and he retired. Well, I'll let him tell his story from there. After retiring in 1989, he began speaking publicly about all this. Peter, thanks so much for coming on the show tonight. How are you?
Very good, Bob, and I want to thank you for sharing your audience with LEAP and giving us all these people to talk to. And hi, everybody out there.
Well, nobody's listening. It's just you and I.
Yeah.
We're just pretending that nobody's there or they're all naked. Either one you choose, it doesn't matter to me.
Well, you know what I like to say is a perfect talk show is that that interesting conversation that's going on in the booth behind you at the restaurant that they don't even know you're listening, but it's that's the way that I look at talk radio, like that.
You know? Long before I did talk radio, Peter, I was a listener. And I think good talk radio comes from someone who's able to listen.
Yep.
And that's a big trait that I think so many people are missing out on. And I think also, there comes a point in time where the order followers need to stop listening to segue to our conversation on the war on drugs. So tell me a little bit about your career as a police captain and what you witnessed and so on and so forth, and then bring me to the point of retirement.
Okay. I had a very interesting life. I am the first baby boomer. I mean that kind of mythically, but I was born at the end of May of 1946, which means I was conceived at the end of August of 1945, which was the end of World War II. Now, the story gets better. Both of my parents were 42 years old when I was born. My brother and sister were 13 and 14. I would say to them, I would say to my lovely mother, why did you have me? And she said, oh, well, we want another baby. And then I would say to my father, why did you have me? And he would be a little bit more honest.
He would say,
hey, the war was over. Everybody was partying. Boom, there you were.
An honest man.
Yeah, exactly. And I had two great parents. I couldn't have asked for better people. In fact, my brother and sister had two great parents, but they had those people when those people were in their 20s and 30s, and I was raised by those people when they were in their 40s and 50s. And that's a very different view of the world in your 40s and 50s than you have in your 20s and 30s. When I was about, 12, 13 years old, a television program came on called The Untouchables. And I and my parents watched every episode of it. Now, you have to understand that in order to be that age, my parents were both born in 1904. So they were living in Buffalo, New York when alcohol prohibition started. And they were married with their first baby, my sister being born, when alcohol prohibition ended in 33. They were 29 years old at that point. So I had people that I could talk to about what was this really like. We would drive around Buffalo, and my father would point out where the speakeasies used to be. And he'd say, the feds busted that place, the feds busted this place. And I thought he just used the word fed as a term for police. But then it was years later that I learned that in 1925, Al Smith, the notoriously wet Al Smith, became governor of New York, and he signed legislation in 1926 that did away with all of New York State's alcohol prohibition laws. Now, I have two hero states for alcohol prohibition. The first one is Maryland, because they never passed a state alcohol prohibition law. From the beginning of prohibition in Maryland until the end, the only ones enforcing it were the Fed in Maryland. From 1926 until its end in 33, the only ones enforcing it in New York State was the Fed. That's why he used that term. I learned that my great uncle Walter, who was my father's uncle, he was my grandfather's brother, and I knew him as being the ace mechanic that kept the Sealtest ice cream trucks on the road because he ran the garage for Sealtest ice cream. But when we started talking about this stuff in alcohol prohibition, I learned that my Uncle Walter lived in Buffalo, New York, and he owned a boat. And sometimes he used to get in that boat and ride across the Niagara River to a place called Canada, which were much more intelligent than we were about alcohol, and he used to supplement his income by being a bootlegger.
Yeah.
Now, when Prohibition ended in 33, he didn't then become a rapist and a bank robber, because what the hell, he was a criminal. He went back to fixing the trucks of Sealtest ice cream, because he was like most of our drug dealers out there. He was an opportunist, not a criminal.
Sure, okay. Yeah.
So I would ask them both, why didn't it work? I would ask my mother, why didn't it work? Wonderful Baptist lady, and she would say it didn't work because the people didn't support it. My father, I would ask him, the term of the time was the fallen Catholic, and I would say to him, why didn't it work? And he said, because it was a stupid idea when they thought of it. I got very interested in that, and I read everything I could get my hands on. And by the time I was about 20, 21 years old, I came to a conclusion that my father was right. And the reason was, we had passed a constitutional amendment to start alcohol prohibition. Now, that takes a lot of support. That isn't just some, we didn't just pass the Volstead Act. We passed an amendment to the Constitution to ban alcohol. So my mother's argument that there wasn't enough support didn't hold up. And my father's argument was the same. Then, now I'm 20, 21 years old, and I saw what we were doing, and you have to understand, we're talking about the late 60s now, okay, before Nixon had kicked off the war on drugs. And we had, drugs were illegal, but it wasn't this insanity like we see now. To go back a few years, when I was 17 years old, I remember standing in my parents' bathroom and looking in the mirror, and I made a promise to myself, and the promise was, you will not have to work past your 45th birthday. That comes from being raised by people in their 40s and 50s. And I wanted my liberty. I wanted to be free from having to sell my time to other people in order to eat. So I wanted to find a job that I would have to do for as short a period of time as possible and then be able to retire. So at 17 years old, I joined the Navy. I always add this at this point. I am a Vietnam-era veteran, not a Vietnam War veteran. But I was on active duty in the Navy during the period of the Vietnam War. I was never in Vietnam. I joined
the Navy. Let's pick it up at Vietnam, Peter, when we get back here. I'm at the edge of my seat here. I want to learn a little bit more about what was going on in your mind back then and your introduction to the police force and so on and so forth. Talking with Peter Chris from LEAP, Law Enforcement Against Prohibition.
The IRS is a private corporation, not a government agency. Income tax is collected by voluntary compliance. To learn to unvolunteer or discontinue volunteering into the IRS, visit escapeharassment.com and immediately implement Strategy 1. The process must be repeated each and every time. Paper, letter, envelope, presentment, etc. Always and forever. Failure equates to acceptance, subsequent resultant contract, and you pay or go to jail by your own consent and agreement contract. Avoid recontracting. Visit escapeharassment.com and implement Strategy 1 immediately. Bar lawyers and accountants won't help you. Why wait? Get Strategy 1 and immediately implement it to divorce the IRS today and forever. That's escapeharassment.com, Strategy 1, to be free from the IRS. escapeharassment.com.
Has your dancing and romancing done gone away? Are you moaning and a-groaning from the stresses of the day? Are you reeling and appealing because a headache's on the way? Well, relax for just a moment. Stress relief is on the way. Of what am I speaking, you ask? The essential oils of long historic use, the wisdom of the ages, the health care of the ancients, frankincense, myrrh, hyssop, and hundreds of others too numerous to mention. What could be more appealing? Do you know that Young Living essential oils has an element of life that makes them extremely effective in body rejuvenation? This element is called vibration, and it works with body systems, not against them. The professionals at Divine Living Oils have tested and been so impressed with this product that we are using them to help others. And who are we? We are health professionals with many years' experience. Trust us, we have seen the good, the bad, and the ugly. Our motto? Because we care about you. Do your health and spirit a great favor. Call us at 304-542-4226. That's 304-542-4226. Again, that's 304-542-4226.
Doctors don't want you to know about iodine because it allows the body to heal itself quickly and permanently. Iodine Now is a complete powder formulation that will load iodine into the body with vitamin C for the best possible absorption. Iodine Now, available by the case and for protection from radiation, fluoride, chlorine, and bromine, including all heavy metals. We believe that this is the main element that humans need more than any other at this time. This formulation is infused with our bioactive aerobic rare earth nutrient powder that has a powerful negative charge that attracts positive toxins. Why not buy one product that does the job of 20 and saves you space, time, and money? Has a storage life of 100 years, all for about $18 a month. Call 888-910-4367 or visit hempusa.org. Call 888-910-4367. Bringing back the universal medicine for mankind. Iodine Now. Only at MUSA.org.
Seems the louder we're singing, the less they're hearing. Babylon got them so mindless they can't see Armageddon is nearing. I try to shake them to wake them, but they say they'd rather be sleeping. So don't be surprised if my eyes can't disguise that inside me my spirit is weeping.
Peter Christ, our special guest tonight, he's the co-founder of LEAP, Law Enforcement Against Prohibition. He'll be wrapping up this month's series of speakers on the topic of ending drug prohibition, which has been a major cost in our society and continues to wreak havoc. And Peter, you were just getting to the Vietnam era. You were a Vietnam era veteran, and you want to pick it up right from there?
Okay, I did my time in the Navy, and as I was in the Navy, even though I liked the uniform a lot, and being on the water was kind of fun, I didn't think that I wanted to work for those people for 20 years. So I moved back to New York State, and when I moved back to New York State, I had two choices in New York State for a 20-year retirement. I could become a firefighter or a police officer. My brother and my father are both ace mechanics. They can fix anything. My lovely wife, Paula, is the mechanic in our family. Okay? And you have to be mechanical. You have to understand building structures to be a firefighter and stuff like that. Sure. On the other hand, police work is 99% BS. You know, it's talking to people, getting problems solved and stuff like that. And as you can tell, I'm pretty good at that. So
I'm glad you're honest about the nature of the job. Jeez, you had no illusions about what you were getting into. And at the end of the day, you're as honest and genuine as I think somebody can get. You wanted to have a stable job with an early retirement. Who could ask for more?
Exactly. So I came into the, hired by the town of Tonawanda Police Department. Now, for anybody listening out there and they want to know, gee, if you were the captain there, what did the other two guys do in the town of whatever police department? Town of Tonawanda was a little bit bigger than that. We sat on the north edge of the city of Buffalo, on the Niagara River, on the Canadian border. We had roughly 85,000 residents in the town. We had heavy industry, Chevy plant, stuff like that down by the river. And then it was basically single-family dwellings, predominantly white community. As I said, a suburb north of the city of Buffalo, and they had 120-officer police department. I came in there as a rookie patrol officer and started on the job. In 72, 73, I want to make something clear to get back to the prohibition thing. I came to my conclusion that my father was right, that it was a stupid idea, and then I looked at the drug policy, and the only difference I saw between alcohol prohibition and our drug policy was the thing that was being prohibited. Otherwise, it was exactly the same policy, okay? People wanted it, and they were willing to risk being arrested to buy it. There was enough money in that marketplace to have people in the underground that are willing to fulfill it. You have to understand this. Alcohol did not create Al Capone. Prohibition of alcohol is what created and empowered Al Capone. And when we legalized alcohol in 33, that didn't solve our alcohol problem, but it put a big dent in our crime and violence problem. I came on the job, rookie patrol officer, I'm working with these senior officers, we're stopping people on the street, we're finding weed, we're dumping it in the street, this is 69, 70, 71, 72, and then it happened. Richard Nixon decided that in order to get the attention off of other things he was doing, that maybe starting a new thing, like a war on drugs, maybe he could get the attention off of him and keep his job until the end. And well, he didn't. But anyhow, I have a view of the White House staff meeting, and they're all sitting around and they're saying, okay, we're going to go after the drug thing. We got to call this something. We got to put a name on it. How about we call it the New Prohibition? And then somebody else sitting around the table says, no, don't use that word. Everybody hears that word. They know that doesn't work. What else could we call it? Well, how about a war on drugs? Hey, there's a good thing. First off, you never lose a war. Secondly, if you state that you're against a war, you are unpatriotic. So that silences people that might question the policy. And we started the war on drugs. And I don't think this was the intent, but what came along with that is that's when the period of militarization of police started, when we used that term war. And I want to explain something to everybody listening out there. I want to explain the difference between the military and the police. If you're in the military and you're taking fire from that 10-unit apartment building on the hill over there, you know what you do? You blow up the apartment building because you're at war. When you're in the police department and you're taking fire from the 10-unit apartment building over there, you have two jobs. One job is to get the person shooting at you, and the other job is to protect everybody else in the building. That's a very different job.
That line is starting to fade further and further, though, is it not?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Let me give you an example. When I was on a job about 4 years, I became a senior training officer. So when guys came out of basic school, I had them for 6 weeks, and then they became an officer. Okay? We had classes on how to be a training officer. We discussed in those classes this. We were getting a lot of Vietnam veterans coming into police work. And we were discussing how to explain to them that this was not the same thing they did in Vietnam. And we used to have those discussions. We used to say, I remember saying to officers, you know what the strange thing about police work is? Every time you arrest somebody, you're arresting your boss. Because we work for the people. Now we've got that attitude that we're getting these people that are coming from Afghanistan, Iran, they're going into police work, and when they walk through the garage to go to work, they're walking by a tank like they used to drive over in Afghanistan. And almost
they're getting some of the same vehicles, some of
exactly,
the hand-me-downs.
We got to do something with this junk. We can't use it over there anymore, so we're giving it to police. And that's absurd. I worked with a World War II vet when I first came on the job. He had been on the job about 30 years when I came on. And he said to me, you know, if you're going to have a police department and a military in your country, you should train the police department on one coast and the military on another coast. That's how different they are. But we're at war. We're at war. You're not arresting your boss anymore. You're arresting the enemy. And it's a whole different attitude that I see flowing into police work. And it comes from this policy of prohibition. And I just want to say something very clearly. As you mentioned at the beginnings, I'm one of the founders of LEAP. In fact, I always tell people the story this way, that I was the idea guy that had the idea for LEAP. And if it hadn't been for a guy by the name of Jack Cole, who's a retired New Jersey State Trooper, he came into the movement about 99. I was in it from 89. And him and I got together with an organization I was with called Reconsider. And Jack Cole is the one that did all the hard work to create the organization. All through the 90s, I was talking about this idea I had for a law enforcement group at, you know, drug policy conferences and stuff like that. And people would say to me, gee, it's a great idea, you ought to do it. And then I would say this, I am not the guy to run it. I have no interest in running it. I'll be glad to be part of it, but I don't want to run it. Jack Cole is the one that did all the hard work about getting the organization up. And since then, we've grown since 2002 fantastically. I named it. I came up with the name Law Enforcement Against Prohibition, and I'd like to point out it isn't Law Enforcement Against Marijuana Prohibition. In fact, it isn't even Law Enforcement Against Drug Prohibition. It is Law Enforcement Against Prohibition, and what I meant by that when I named it was the prohibiting of consensual adult behavior.
Prostitution?
Legal. Gambling, legal. Is if you really live in a free society. If you
painting
believe
my toenails pink?
Pardon?
Painting my toenails pink?
Painting your nose pink. I don't care. Now, painting my nose pink.
I was setting you up for ridiculous would have been the last thing you would have said. You know, everything else legal, painting your toenails pink, that's just ridiculous.
Yeah. Here's the deal. We have two different types of laws. In fact, this is such a classic thing throughout history that there is an old Latin phrase for these two different kinds of laws. And that phrase is mala in se, mala prohibitum. And when we get back from the break, I'll explain it.
There is only one detox product that stands out above the rest, Micro Plant Powder, and it's available only at hempusa.org. Micro Plant Powder does wonders by removing toxins from the body. Detoxification is a vital process that's extremely important for restoring your health. Micro Plant Powder is available in 8 different formulations, and we can help you choose the one that's perfect for your lifestyle. Micro Plant Powder is 100% chemical-free, non-GMO, anti-inflammatory, gluten-free, and packaged by hand in BPA-free containers. HempUSA.org wants you to be healthy, and Micro Plant Powder is one of the best ways we know to detoxify your body from head to toe, all for about $10 a month. Take back your life and enjoy living again with Micro Plant Powder. Call 888-910-4367. That's 888-910-4367. Micro Plant Powder, available only at hempusa.org.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Americans are reeling from Obamacare, higher prices, and an epidemic of policy lapses. AsiaRunLikeHellGuide.com has you covered. World-class medical and surgery at one of Asia's most modern hospitals. 300 doctors, surgeons, and dentists serving 300,000 patients a year. Fractions of U.S. prices. Friends or family forced to go out of pocket? Avoid bankruptcy. Tell them to run. Run like hell. Hit us up now. We'll show you how. AsiaRunLikeHellGuide.com.
Hi, my name is David Merlin from TakeFromCaesar.us. Income is defined in the tax code. All property is a cost, including labor, according to statute. You're deprived of the provisions of Section 83 whenever you pay an income tax on your compensation. According to Section 83, only the excess over the amount paid is gross income. The government can't so much as provide an interpretation of Section 83 of its own. Get your paradigm shift and understanding today at TakeFromCaesar.us.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
How important is the air you breathe? Our air purifiers produce activated oxygen, called Aerin. Activated oxygen is the natural enemy of odors, pollutants, and many other harmful substances, yet it's completely safe. Our powerful air purifiers unleash the power of a thunderstorm, destroying pollutants in the air we breathe. It destroys many viruses, bacteria, and fungi, kills molds, and oxidizes chemical fumes and toxic gases. It removes smoke, pollen, and pet odors. Made with quality stainless steel, our portable air purifiers come with a manufacturer's 4-year warranty. If you haven't experienced the Aerin process of fresh, clean air, then call us today and receive 10% off your order. 877-605-9200. Again, that's 877-605-9200. Time for you to breathe clearly again. 877-605-9200.
To their names can be added those of hundreds and thousands of others who stood in the way of the new order.
Right now.
Isn't what we're building for.
Prohibition does not work, ladies and gentlemen. Whether it's painting your toenails pink, telling you you cannot have consensual sex with an adult, or anything else that you want to prohibit. You can make anything up you want, folks. It doesn't matter. It just doesn't work. That's the bottom line. And that's the message of law enforcement against prohibition, who particularly knows this to be true after witnessing the war on drugs for so many years now. And joining us is the co-founder of Leap, none other than Peter Crist. Peter, you were telling us a little bit about a Roman saying, a Latin saying, rather?
A Latin legal term. Yes. The term is mala in se, mala prohibitum. And what that means is laws that are laws because they're laws. You don't have to explain them to anybody. And laws that are laws because we like to prohibit this stuff and we don't think people should be doing it and stuff. Let me give you an example. You and I are walking down the street and we look across the street and we see a guy run up behind another guy, punch him in the back of the head, knock him to the ground, grab something from him, and run away. Now, I don't think either of us has to explain to the other one why we should make that illegal. Right.
I mean it's a violation of natural law.
Exactly. That person had a right to walk down that street. This person took that right away from them. You have no right to do that. Okay, now we walk down
up with one concept, and that is stealing. If you steal somebody's freedom, if you steal their health by punching them, if you steal their property, stealing in any way, shape, or form of the meaning, that is criminal. There's a victim, and that is a crime.
Can I give you another word? How about non-consensual behavior? In other words, doing something to somebody who does not consent that you do that to them.
Again, stealing, forcing their consent.
Exactly. And here's the deal. We walk down to the next corner, and we see two guys. One guy walks up to the other guy. They smile at each other. They have a little conversation. The one guy hands the other guy some money. The guy hands him a package, and he walks away. And I look at you and say, that should be against the law. Well, you're going to be saying, why? I didn't see anybody. What do you mean it should be against? Those are mala prohibitum laws. In fact, when we go to foreign countries where we are at war, we call them morality policing, even though we do it right here in America. And the fact is that it's wrong. We should not do morality policing. That is not a function of law enforcement in a free society. And here is why. Everybody has their own different interpretation of morality. You talk to an Islamic person, they have an interpretation of morality. In fact, depending on which part of Islam they're in, they may have different interpretations of morality than even other people that are in Islam. Same thing with Protestants, same thing with Catholics, same thing with Jews. All of these people have their own interpretation of morality. And here's the thing. If you're going to decide to use armed law enforcement in your society to enforce one of those moralities, you have to first pick which one. And before you make that choice, I'd suggest just one more read of the First Amendment, because it says something in there about making laws in respect to religion and so on and so forth. That is not something we should do in a free society. I just want to give you a little thing, because I think maybe people understand where I'm coming from if I tell you this. I have my own definition of two words. The first one is the word fascist. And here is how I define fascist. And before I say what that is, I always like to say that I had a good friend of mine that said for a long time that there's only two kinds of people in the world, the kind of people that think there's only two kinds of people in the world, and the kind of people that are smarter than that. Okay? So understanding that, I say there's two kinds of people in the world. There's the fascists and the normal people. And when you're dealing with a normal person, and that normal person has a great new idea, what the normal person does is they actualize that idea. If other people admire it, they share it with them. Now, I'm a capitalist. They may share it for a profit, okay? But upon request, they share it. When a fascist has a great new idea, the next thought that comes into the fascist's head is, this is such a good idea, we ought to make everybody do it this way. So when I use the word fascist, that's what I'm talking about. The other word I have my own definition for is the word liberty. And I define liberty as the right to be as stupid as you choose to be, as long as you do not harm another person or another person's property. Now, the reason I say that, and people usually laugh when I say, oh, you're just being silly, and I tell them this. All the historical reading that I've done about all the things that we have today and where they came from, here's what was at the root of all of them. A little thing that I refer to as stupid, crazy genius. Okay? You and I grew up together. We lived in a town, and we had this friend named Tom. And I moved away quite a number of years ago, and now I'm back in a town, and I run into you when we're talking, and I say, hey, Bob, what's Tom up to? And you look at me, and you say, oh, man, Tom, we used to think he was so smart. He's stupid. He's wasted the last 2 years of his life over on the hill over there. Are you ready for this? He thinks he's going to catch light inside a glass ball and light the world. I mean, how stupid can you be? 2 years later, I run into you again. And I say to you, hey, what's up? We're talking. I say, what's Tom up to? And you say, oh, man, Tom. I thought he was stupid. He's crazy. 4 years now he's wasted of his life on this stupid light the ball thing. A year later, I run into you, and before I get a chance to say hello, I hear from you, "Chuba Tom? He's a genius! He caught light inside a glass ball, he's going to light the world." All throughout our history, every great discovery that our species has ever made, the first person that thought of it was labeled stupid by everybody else. If they persisted, we called them crazy. And then when the rest of us caught up, we called them geniuses. Now, I want to make this perfectly clear. I am absolutely 100% positive that more than 95% of the stupid, crazy people out there are, in fact, stupid and crazy. Okay? They're never going to be geniuses. They're just stupid, crazy people. But here's the deal. We do not know which ones are going to be the geniuses until the whole thing plays out. And if we stop all the stupid, crazy people from being stupid and crazy, we're never going to get the benefits of the geniuses, because we're going to get rid of them too. So we have to put up with all this stupid stuff, and we call that liberty, freedom. And that's what I am about. The reason I wanted at 17 years old to be retired before I was 45 is because I wanted my liberty. I wanted to be free of having to do things for other people in order to eat. That's what I want. That's why I wanted to be retired. The reason I want this stupid policy and morality policing to end in this country is because I want my liberty. See, here's the deal. No matter what the situation is, if you're doing, I'll give you a perfect example. I personally, all right, am a non-believer. I'm an atheist. I don't believe that there is a God. If somebody passed a law to close some church in this country tomorrow, I would be the first one standing in the doorway of keeping that church open. Now, it's not because I agree with what they say in that church. It's because I know that my liberty to believe the way I do is embedded in their liberty to believe the way they do. And if they can take their liberty away from them, then they can take my liberty away from me. And I'm not fighting because I agree with what they say. I am not pro-drug. If anybody out there listening wants my advice about drugs, be as drug-free as you can be. It's the best way to see this world through clear eyes. But that isn't what we're talking about. We're taking armed military police into society, enforcing morality. One little historical note that I happened to come across just about a year and a half ago, I was watching a program on PBS, and it was about the gay issue in America. And at the beginning of the program, there was a blurb on the screen, and the blurb said, in 1960, it was illegal to be gay in every state but Illinois. Now, when I read that, the first thing I thought was, hooray for Illinois for being smarter than everybody else, okay? And then I thought, gee, I spent 20 years in police work. I never arrested anybody for being gay. They must have done away with that law before I became a cop. And then I remembered, oh, yeah, the consensual sodomy law. We had a law in New York State that made consensual sodomy between consenting adults legal if they were married to each other.
A lot of those laws are still on the books, from what I understand, in many states. And there's several other laws of that nature that we'll talk about. We got one more segment coming up. I also want to ask you if you would have enforced such a law at that time.
The Bob Tuscan Show.
Ooh, nice shooting. Hey, that's a sweet AK-47 chest rig. Is that multicam?
Yep, got it from StrikeHardGear.com.
Strike what?
StrikeHardGear.com.
Set your sights on StrikeHardGear.com. Tough, tactical gear for your Soviet-style weapon that's made in the USA. Affordable, plus a no-questions-asked 30-day money-back guarantee and lifetime replacement warranty. StrikeHardGear.com. Go ahead, pull the trigger.
Come to Finca Baiano, a small community in Panama, which is being established for people who believe that a future crisis may be difficult to survive in North America after a collapse of the system. Go to bugoutpanama.com for more information. There is limited space for 100 people only. Go to bugoutpanama.com to immigrate as long as you can. Prepare. Don't despair. at bugoutpanama.com.
Nutritious food is real body armor. It builds muscle, burns fat, improves digestion, and feeds the entire body the nutrients it needs. Did you know the U.S. government banned the hemp plant from growing in the United States and classified it as a Schedule I drug to hide it behind the marijuana plant? People have been confused about this plant for over 80 years, and many still don't know what hemp is. So now you know hemp is not marijuana, and marijuana is not hemp. They are different varieties of the same species. HempUSA.org wants the world to know these basic facts and to help people understand that hemp protein powder is the best-kept health secret you need to know about. Remember, hemp protein powder contains 53% protein, is gluten-free, anti-inflammatory, non-GMO, and is loaded with nutrients. Call 888-910-4367, 888-910-4367, and see what our powder, seeds, and oil can do for you. Only at HempUSA.org.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
How important is the air you breathe? Our air purifiers produce activated oxygen, called Aerin. Activated oxygen is the natural enemy of odors, pollutants, and many other harmful substances, yet it's completely safe. Our powerful air purifiers unleash the power of a thunderstorm, destroying pollutants in the air we breathe. It destroys many viruses, bacteria, and fungi, kills molds, and oxidizes chemical fumes and toxic gases. It removes smoke, pollen, and pet odors. Made with quality stainless steel, our portable air purifiers come with a manufacturer's 4-year warranty. If you haven't experienced the Aerin process of fresh, clean air, then call us today and receive 10% off your order. 877-605-9200. Again, that's 877-605-9200. Time for you to breathe clearly again. 877-605-9200.
Lucifer, son of the morning, I'm gonna chase you out of earth. I'm gonna put on an iron shirt and chase Satan out of earth. I'm gonna put on an iron shirt. To outer space to find another race. I'm gonna send him to outer space to find another race.
Okay, so I understand that the law enforcement officers do not make the law, that they just enforce it, and that's kind of the mantra we hear from people that are apologizing for law enforcement. And at some point, I have to question whether or not that's going to be valid. And I want to know from you, our special guest tonight, by the way, for this final segment in our final interview for this month's series on law enforcement against prohibition, is Peter Crist, who is the co-founder of the organization and a former police captain. Peter, is at some point it not acceptable to say I was just doing my job and just following orders?
If you get out your dictionary and you look up the word hypocrite, you will find a picture of me there. Okay? And I make no bones about it. I came to my conclusion about this drug policy before I became a cop. I thought that this was stupid. Now, this was before Nixon kicked off the war on drugs. So it was kind of a background thing that we were doing in police work. Before I took the oath, I had a little sit-down with myself. And I said, you know, you feel that this is wrong and whatever, but you're going to take an oath to enforce the laws. And my father, my father was a big one about personal responsibility. To give you a quick example, he used to say, nobody can make you do anything that you do not ultimately agree to do. They can kill you, but they can't make you do something you don't agree to do. And here's the deal. If you agree to do it, you have to do it as good as you can, because you're putting your name on it, because you're doing it, and you don't want anybody to look at your work and say, who did that garbage? You want them to say, hey, that's great, who did that? Did you ever see the movie Bridge on the River Kwai?
No.
Okay, it's about a bunch of British prisoners of war being held by the Japanese. And they tell those prisoners of war that they want them to build a railroad bridge across the span in Burma, where they were. Okay? And I think it was Burma somewhere in the middle, whatever, in the east. And as they were being held captive, and they said, we're not going to build you a bridge. You're the enemy. And the Japanese said, fine, then we're going to kill all of you. And then the British said, well, okay, we'll build a bridge. All right? Then they started trying to screw the bridge up while they were building it. And there was this one colonel played by Alec Guinness in the movie. And he said, no. We said we're going to build a bridge. We're going to build the best bridge that was ever built. And once the bridge got built and the first train was going across it, Alec Guinness is the one that pushed the plunger to blow it up because he was still at war. But he said, we agreed to do this. Even with the threat of death, we agreed to do this. So I went in, I took the oath to enforce the laws of the state of New York. They didn't ask me to enforce the ones I agreed with. They asked me to enforce the laws, and I took an oath that I would do that. For 20 years, I did that.
I don't think that oath means very much if you're going to put people's lives in jeopardy and put your own life in jeopardy. Screw the oath. I'm sorry, but screw the oath.
I understand that perspective, and that is a perfectly valid perspective, but you have to understand that currently there are 7 billion human beings on this planet, and each one of us is different than everybody else. So there's a lot of different perspectives out there in how things people do things. I am not hiding what I did. I am not trying to paint it over and make it look okay. I am simply telling you this was my process.
Gotcha.
Okay? And the people that I worked with all knew. We'd make drug arrests, and I'd say, this isn't our job, we shouldn't be doing this. But I said, I do it, I'm going to do it. Now, you know, I am not looking for approval when I'm saying this. I am simply stating that this is the reality of the world that I lived in. Also, you have to understand that I worked for 20 years in uniform. I was a uniform patrol officer for 15 years. I was a uniform lieutenant for 2 years. I was a uniform captain supervising and managing a platoon for the last 3 years I worked there. I never worked undercover. Nobody that did business with me didn't know the business I was in. I had a uniform on that explained to everybody that saw me what I did for a living. And if you were dumb enough to violate a law in front of me, I arrested you for it, because that's what I was paid to do. Now, since that, for the last 25 years, two things. One, I am completely proud of. I do not earn a penny from LEAP. I am not paid for any of the work that I do here. The only time that I make any money is if they send me to speak at a college and we get an honorarium. When that happens, we split the speaker splits the honorarium with LEAP 50-50, and they pay all my expenses when I travel. But I don't make any money doing this. I'm living off my retirement, and I think that the work I've done over the last 25 years, co-founding a law enforcement group that is now has chapters in Brazil and India and, you know, Germany and England and Canada from the beginning. We're spreading this word. It's a much bigger word than just drug policy. It's about morality policing. I explain this real quickly? I got one thing I want to say real fast. Law Enforcement Against Prohibition is a human rights organization. And the reason why we are a human rights organization is because that's what our profession was. That's what we did. We were either judge, we worked in law enforcement, which is human rights. My job for 20 years was to protect you from other people violating your human rights. My job was also, if I had enough reasonable cause to believe you violated somebody else's human rights, my job was to take your human rights away from you and put you in front of a court of law. That was my job. That's my profession. And I'm now, telling you that when you send us to the society to deal with human rights, and you have us out there judging people on what they're consensually doing with each other, that's a misuse of law enforcement. We should only be out there. Gotcha. Not once in 20 years did anybody ever come up to me and say, "Officer, that man sold me drugs." I mean, they reported being assaulted and raped. I had all kinds of crimes reported to me. Never once did anybody report that somebody did something for them that they wanted them to do. Never.
Okay, so here's my question, though. The ultimate question, if you will, all right?
Okay.
And I'm going to be completely upfront with you.
Certainly.
I want to know at which point people in law enforcement and the military, for that matter, at which point will they say no? Is it to the point where they are so blindly accepting their oaths and their allegiance to following orders that they can do? And I hate to use the Nazi example because it's so freaking cliche, man. But I think it's a valid question. At which point do police officers say, "No, I'm not following orders"? No. And do they stand up and be on the side of common sense and common decency and liberty?
And you know what? Every one of them would be exactly like that if for one thing. And that was, we didn't have human beings that were police officers. We are dealing with human beings here. Human beings do... I wasn't born a police officer. I lived my life up until I was 22 years old, got on the job, then was a police officer for 20 years, and then put that away, and then went back to being who I was, all right? So you can't really, there's no ultimate answer to this. I am sure that when you mention Nazis, that there were people there that knew exactly what they were doing was wrong, but they were doing it because they were working for the 20-year retirement. Okay? I'm not making excuses for that, and I'm not saying that we can change that, but you know what? I am telling you we can change. We can change the society here, and this is doable, and we can stop cops from going out there and doing things that should only be done by family, church, education, and the healthcare system, and that's morality. And we should only have cops on the street protecting people from other people doing them harm. That is accomplishable. We have done it. We don't arrest... If he came finally gay in the year 2000, you could be gay in New York State and not fear arrest for it. There's other states where it still hasn't changed. We have to change that. We have to stop arresting people for things that they are doing that they choose to do and are causing no harm to other people. That we can do. Changing the person or changing the human beings, how we react to things, not possible. I'm going to end real quick with this. We got 7 billion people on this planet. Every time one of these strange things happens where somebody goes into a school and shoots it up or does some other insane thing, remember, right now there are 7 billion variations of you on this planet. It doesn't surprise me that a few of them are nuts.
Peter Christ from Leap, thanks so much, man. We appreciate it. And we'll continue to cover this issue and more. Quick reminder, we're going to be changing our time slot to 9 p.m. Eastern Time, probably next week, and Clint will be an hour earlier. Love you guys. Have a great night.
This has been another edition of the Bob Tuscan Show. Activism in action. Now go plant some seeds. With